This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And welcome to the preview show brought to you by the No Nay Never podcast in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, and joining me this week's analysis show are our good friends and our panellists, Rich Steele and Adam Dennett. We are looking back, Clarets, on a fantastic return to football in the new year period. The Clarets, 2 wins out of 2. We have now had 6 wins on the bounce, 10 wins from the last 11 games, 5 points clear at the top of the table, looking pretty much certain for automatic promotion. More importantly, I think we're 14 points now clear of our neighbours down the road in third. So certainly looking favourites for automatic promotion. We're the highest scorers in the all four divisions with 52 goals. And this week, Supercomputer down at 538 has us winning the league with 91 points. 2 wins to discuss today. We've got that 1-0 win away at Stoke and a 2-1 victory away at Swansea. Rich, let's come to you first. On paper, New Year's games, one against Stoke and one at Swansea, both away from home, despite Swansea's performance at Turf Moor, did look on paper to be quite tricky fixtures. And I think it's fair to say they actually ended up being tricky fixtures.
Yeah, 2 really difficult away games. As the old cliche says, there's not many easy games in the Championship, but we've seemed to dispel that that recently with some of the wins we've gotten. I don't want to say you expected to just to come away and win comfortably, but I thought Stoke actually gave us a better game than I was expecting. I worked down near Stoke, and their fans were like, "Oh, we're horrendous at the moment. You'll put 3 or 4 past us," but I thought Stoke were very physical. I think they were personally quite unlucky not to come away with something from the game at times. I think Murić made a fantastic save for a corner. They were threats, from set pieces. Swansea then away was a different task. We know how good they are on the ball. I think their possession's actually higher than us this year, which is really interesting. Mm. And I thought both teams actually didn't let us play from the back as much first half. They screened our midfield better. But I think this team's got a lot tougher, hasn't it, recently? We don't just lie down and roll over as much as we used to under pressure. And you always know that we've got a threat going forward. And as you mentioned in the, before we started recording, Natalie, we've got threats from all over the pitch. Mm-hmm. Matson getting 2, Cullen getting 1. We're not just relying on our forward players. So to win 6 games on the bounce since that really bad Sheffield United defeat. And 5 wins from that Christmas period. And, the Christmas period is almost when you expect to drop points. You see QPR, getting a point off Sheffield the other day, very, very close to beating them. So for us to go and win all those games is an absolutely phenomenal effort. And like you said, 5 points clear of second, but most importantly, 14 points clear of third. And it's just looking an inevitability. And this team's just going from strength to strength all the time. It really is an absolute joy to watch at the moment, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, me too. I keep talking to a lot of my friends who are supporters of other clubs, particularly Premier League clubs, and they'll call me and say, "My goodness, your boys are flying, aren't they?" And I just think, yeah, it's like, I don't want this season to end. Adam, Rich made a really good point there, and it's something that I think has been a theme throughout this New Year period, and it's this idea of this grittiness returning to this side. Actually, maybe not returning, actually just developing in this side, and a grittiness we haven't yet seen before. And that, to me, was more obvious in the Stoke game, more so than the Swansea game, because as Rich said, they were very physical with us. They didn't give us the respect that other teams maybe have done. They didn't sit off us and just let us play, or you know, they got it right, and they were really unlucky. I mean, how important do you think it needed to be to see that resilience coming into and that professionalism in this side?
Yeah, massive. I think that were the only thing stopping us earlier in the season. And to see us learn from that run of games where we were looked like we had a soft underbelly and we were conceding late goals, and then come back to what we are now, like Rich said, it's a joy to watch. It's as if, like, you love to see when teams, and we probably haven't seen it as much recently, when teams learn from mistakes and develop and get better, and we've seen that from the off under Kompany. There wasn't one thing from the Sheffield United game, and there was a lot of probably noise around that. Kompany was really calm. In the interview afterwards, it really filled me with confidence that he's not going to be fazed, not going to get too far ahead of himself when we're winning games, not going to get too down when we're losing. And it's just a very clear message from him throughout, and you can see exactly what they're trying to do. I struggled early on watching us. I think I was more in like Tom's camp, watching the sideways passing and slow passing and trying to wear teams down, not showing as much intent as you'd probably hope. I found it difficult, and I said that to some of my friends at home, and they've given me grief ever since, really. Like, coming in from like 3-0 wins, like against Birmingham, they're like, "Oh yeah, you must be really, really struggling to watch this. You must be hating this after all these years of dice ball." No, it really, there really isn't much negative spin you can put in at the moment, but I think companies learn the substitutions, as we mentioned on the podcast before, have been brilliant. We've looked more confident. We've looked stronger. And like we'll probably come on to, the second half performances in both games were brilliant after we've been under a lot of pressure in the first half. And I think there were two very similar away games earlier in the season at West Brom and Birmingham, where teams put us under severe pressure, and we did buckle towards the end.
That West Brom game,
And that was maybe a bit of a blueprint that especially Stoke probably used against us. Great to see us come through them tough games and find a different way to win. Loved it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably one of the points that you raised early on, Rich, and that ability to come through tricky spells, particularly when we've not been at our best. You very much put down to a willingness by Kompany to be proactive with his substitutions rather than reactive. And that's something that you've been particularly impressed with this season.
I think there's a lot of different factors. I think Howard Bellis and Bayer are maturing all the time as a centre-back partnership. I think, you know, they're both very young players getting used to the physicality of the league, and Howard Bellis is just getting better and better all the time. I think another thing that I've noticed, and I particularly noticed it in the QPR game after the break when I went to Loftus Road, second half, like someone like Mattson, he's not getting as caught high up the pitch.
You know,
and the same with either Vitinho when he was playing, or Roberts. You know, they kind of, once we have that lead, they'll still get forward, but they're not just bombing on the overlap as much and leaving massive spaces. I think Cork and Cullen are willing to sit a little bit deeper when we're protecting a lead now. It's just really, you know, it's just really lovely to see. And going back to what you're saying about being proactive, you know, you've seen he's brought Charlie Taylor on in the last couple of games,
which
it is a defensive substitution. You know, you can't get away from that. But when teams are just bombing the ball to the back post, Mattson, you know, as well as he's playing, when you're 5'6", whatever he is, he's not going to be able to head of the ball. You know, so having Taylor there just shores it up a little bit. You know, and Taylor's still a fantastic player for me. I think you know, he was one of our best players in the Premier League consistently. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I do like about Kompany. It's all as what Dyche would do, all the good Dyche did. You almost felt at times he was waiting for us to concede a goal before he would make a change.
Yeah.
Like on against Swansea, Saruri just didn't play well. He got booted a little bit. You know, he brought Gunmanson off. Again, maybe a little bit more of a defensive substitution, but to know that he would just shore it up. So, yeah, like I said, I think overall we've become more pragmatic. We've got that know-how to see out games a little bit, and Kompany's definitely helped with his substitutions. I think he understands the Championship now and knows what he has to do to win football matches.
Yeah, definitely. And you just very much get the sense, don't you, that he would want to... wishes as a player that he played in the Championship, and you can see that in him. You can almost see him kicking every ball. Adam, another factor in this evolution of this side is something that's a bit of a hangover from the beginning of the season and perhaps played into some of our fears. And that is this idea that this team shares the goals around. As I said at the outset of this programme, we are the highest scoring team in all four leagues with 52 goals. But there's not been one out-and-out story. We've not got a Vings partnership like we had in the 2014 promotion season, where you've got two strikers banging in 20 goals each. You've got, you know, the Swansea game, our left-backs scored the two, one of which an absolute screamer, I would add, just scoring out of nowhere. Josh Cullen was the Swansea striker, and it's a scorer, sorry, not striker, definitely wasn't playing up front, scorer. And I still feel like we need more of an attacking threat up front, but that must send a message to the Championship that actually maybe that traditional model of how you get out of the Championship is being ripped up a little bit by this very forward-thinking modern Burnley side.
That was my biggest worry at the start of the season.
Yeah, me too.
You look at previous Championship seasons, even with Burnley, we've had Patterson, Ings, and Gray all get 20 plus goals in our promotion seasons. Even looking at last season, Mitrovic scored 40 goals for Fulham. Yeah. Solanke scored 30 goals for Bournemouth. That's what gets you promoted. And listening to Kompany in pre-season saying about sharing the goals around, in my mind, I'm thinking that's all good when you've played for Man City all your career, but we need a goal scorer.
Yeah.
And to be completely, I've been proven wrong. We look a threat all over the pitch. And I was looking at some stats before. We've got 9 players got 4 or more goal contributions, which is like ridiculous.
I've not seen that. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's not coming from a core group who are starting every game. Anyone who's on the pitch looks a threat. And you've got to give Kompany all the credit for that. Because I didn't see that coming, and it definitely allays my fears in terms of if we get a striker this January, I'm hoping it's just an upgrade on Barnes or Dervizoglu rather than like being worried that we need one to be able to see us over the line, which we don't at the minute.
No, interesting reports coming out of Dervizoglu actually that Vink was saying that him, Brentford and Burnley are going to sit down and review the terms of his loan. Not that he's doing anything wrong, but he's clearly not got the games that he wanted, because the team, I think companies acknowledge the team and the attacking options have evolved more than he thought he was. And if you send a player out on loan, you've got to want to expect them to be starting. Otherwise, what's the point in sending them on loan? They may as well stay at their home club. So I do wonder whether or not he might be on his way out in January, maybe to a different club, but we'll see. Rich, right back at you. Let's go completely the other end of the pitch and let's talk about the other Marmite in our team, and that is of course Muric, our absolute amazing keeper who I adore immensely, but very much Splits fans. We put a poll out last week on Twitter and it sparked some discussion about what we think about our keeper, but you are definitely in the same camp as me in that you are a Muric fan.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's getting better all the time. And what you know, he's still a very young goalie. I don't exactly know the ages of Pope's career, but I think when Pope was Muric's age, he was definitely playing in the lower leagues. He might have even been at York City. And there are times where can be frustrating. One thing I will never ever give him stick from is playing out from the back.
No,
against you know,
it's
against
amazing.
Against Stoke, he did a one particular bad pass. You know, when the defenders got well, but the amount of great passes he did. You know, when we're under pressure, you know, you can actually give the ball back to him, and he plays that ball so well to the fullbacks. He just chips it over the over the pressing attacker, and he just relieves any pressure. And you know, with the fullbacks we got, it just gets you up the pitch. Listen, the one area he's not great at, he struggles to come out for crosses or just judge the flight of the ball in general. There was one against Stoke. Listen, it was Bayer's fault. Not that one, where Matt has just tried to shepherd it to him and he's not come out for it early on. He gathers me as someone who's a little bit of a nervous starter. Some of his mistakes seem to come at the start.
Oh my God, that is so true. Yes.
Like that QPR one, he should have given away a penalty. Swansea gave a bad kick away early on. I think Stoke, a couple of bad kicks and didn't come out for the ball. And then, as he seems to grow into the game and settle down, he gets better. And then, ultimately, he can make some great saves, like the one from the header against Stoke. So, for me, I think he's a valuable asset to this team. Is he perfect? No. Has he got a lot of developing to do? In my opinion, he has, yeah. It's really, you know, when we go to the Premier League, I don't think it's an if now. I'd be absolutely amazed if we do. I don't think even the most pessimistic Burnley fan would even say we're not going to go up now. Well, you might get the odd few, I don't know. But it's going to be really interesting how he does, you know, cope in the Premier League under that pressure. That's something I'm still very much 50-50 on, because there's still a massive... I think you've got to understand there's still a big gap between the Championship and the Premier League. They're still absolutely huge. So, but yeah, I'm happy for him. And you know what? Ultimately, football's about being entertained, isn't it? You know, you pay your money, you want to be entertained, and he definitely does that. He's definitely an entertainer. Got nothing but good things to say about him.
Just come out
for crosses a little bit better. Yeah. Just come out, you know, that's... But I think we have been spoiled with Pope, haven't we? You know, he could come out and catch a golf ball in the crowd. So, you know, it's difficult to judge Muric against him.
But then Pope couldn't play out from the back. So, you know.
Well, to be fair, I think there's a couple of, you know, I think the fella who sits near me would rather Pope just kick it into the Bob Lord than watch Muric pass it out from the back. And I had to swap seats with my dad, but that's another story if you're listening to this.
That's for the Nona Never podcast after dark. We'll put our more mature episode on for that. Hey, that might be a thing, actually. What are our stories?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Adam, I think as Rich just said then, it looks like it's a matter of when, not if, we do go back to the Premier League. I think when I mentioned the supercomputer that 538 have, I think they had something like 90% chance of going up automatically, which is crazy. Only 11% chance that we will go into the playoffs. That's mad stats. Do we go up as champions? And secondly, does it bother you either way? Is it just a case of going up? I know where I sit with this, so I'd be interested to see what you think.
I'd say as a more probably conservative fan, any promotion would be good enough for me, especially given the start of the season. But the position we're in now and the form that we're on, I can't see anything but us winning the league. It'll be really, really interesting to see if Sheffield United can keep up and if we can keep this up, because we are by far and away at the moment the best two teams in the league. Middlesbrough and West Brom, obviously, if they wouldn't have started from such a low base when they changed managers, they've both shown signs of being really good sides. But the gap is, it looks unassailable at the moment. I think as pessimistic as I would be looking at it, if I were on the other side of it in that group of teams below us, I wouldn't be thinking we're getting anywhere near.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and our neighbours don't think that either. And it's I always say this, when we won the East Lancs Derby and I saw some of the comments on social media from Blackburn fans, I gave a lot of stock to that, and I took a lot of, you know, they resonated with me because I know how hard I would find it as a fan to post anything nice or give them any credit. And for them to be able to do it in a public forum shows it's justified. And hearing them saying, well, there's no way we're catching them, they're going to win it, I think that's very credible. Rich, are you bothered about the title? Because I'll tell you what, I am. I'm not as conservative as Adam, and I am much more competitive. And I think I still maintain that we are the best side in this division and we deserve to be champions. It'd be interesting to see what you think.
I think at times when we watch us, we're playing a different sport than some of these teams in the championship. Honestly, like I watched Blackburn and Cardiff, and although the pitch wasn't great, it looked like it was a game from the 1990s.
Yeah.
The standard and the pitch and the atmosphere and just the dullness of the whole of the whole game and everything. It's nothing to do with Blackburn being boring, but it's got a little bit of it in there.
That's a bonus, though.
No, listen, Blackburn's, I think what Blackburn's got is they've got some really good individual players. You know, they've got like Diaz, Bradley Darts, I like Gallagher, they've got a good defence, but they're not as exciting to watch as us. I think Sheffield U are a good team. I think Njai's a fantastic player. You know, I think he's absolutely fabulous. But yeah, again, it's what I go back to. I can't see us not winning the league. I'm bothered about it. Yeah, of course you're bothered. You know, you want to be the best, don't you, in the league that you're playing? What's the point in doing anything in sport if you're not going to try and be the best against your competitors?
Gold medal. You got. I do the exactly, same when I'm playing poker. I go for the win. You go for first place.
You know, and I think that's the mentality that'll keep us driving forward. And I think then, you know, I am getting a bit far ahead of myself, but then it's like, right, we get promoted. What other records can we break? Can we score the most, you know, can we get over 100 points? And, you know, can we do something that no other Burnley team's done? I think somebody, that supercomputer's got us down for 91 points. I think we'll get more than that, if I'm being honest, you know, as the way it stands. Like, Adam made a brilliant point there about Middlesbrough and, you know, and West Brom. I think if they had the managers in at the start of the season, we wouldn't be as far ahead, you know. But Middlesbrough, they were flying coming into the game against us, and we beat them 3-1 at Turf Moor. Beat Blackburn 3-0, who were third, you know. So, like I said, away games are always a little bit more tougher. But then we beat QPR 3-0, who drew against Sheffield United. I think what we've got is we've got such good options at the bench. You know, Zaruri didn't play well. You can bring Benson on. You can bring Gudmundsson on. You know, Scott Twine is, for me, is an incredibly talented player. And we've not even seen him.
No, we've not.
You know, he's played like, what, 10 minutes or something? Half an hour in total. You know, 10 minutes since he's come back from injury. So all these are just so positive. And like I said, it's, you know, before I'd go to games and I'd be like, oh, we might not win. And now I'm just like, now we've got that bit of grittiness. I'm like, well, we can win in different ways. So going back to, listen, I do want to win the title, but ultimately, looking long term, I know this doesn't probably have any correlation. Brentford only got up in the playoffs 2 seasons ago, and look what they're doing as a club now. So it is about getting back up there, and then what do we do in that summer of recruitment? I know that's looking way ahead, but yeah, like I said, I just can't see us getting anything but champions. So, and yeah, I definitely want to say you're the best of the best, don't you?
Yeah, so. Definitely. Moving slightly on then, obviously we are now in January. The transfer window is 4 days old. We have been hit with some quite surprising news that Matt Lawton and Westwood are on their way out, which surprised me, but then also didn't surprise me once I'd got used to that. I think it's sad because they're the old guard still, and you know, we didn't necessarily want to lose everybody from our last decade, but they're on their way out, and I think probably right considering the way that this team has evolved. But certainly the transfer mill is crazy. This is what happens when you're in this position that we are in, that everybody gets linked to you and everybody wants to come and play for you. I think just from what I've looked at today, we are linked with Semenyo from Bristol City, Michael Obafemi from Swansea. I'm saying these slowly because you know what I'm like with pronunciation, and I don't want to offend anybody. Cody Drammer from Leeds. We've mentioned Dervis Oglu, who's going to go back to Brentford, we think, possibly. Sam Surridge from Forest. He's been linked as well. All attacking players. Adam, is that the only position that really we should be concentrating on, is just to shore up that attacking threat, or is there anywhere else you'd like to see us strengthen?
Yeah, that's probably the only area of the pitch you could probably say we could strengthen. The only other thing I'd like to see us do, if there's the chance to do it, is maybe snap up one or two of the loan players on permanence if we can. Especially if there's talk of us bringing another loan in or a couple of loans in. You worry about, and I'm sure it wouldn't be the case, but a lot of Notts Forest key players last year were loan players. And when they lost them in the summer, obviously we won't go and sign 20 players or whatever again. But it takes a lot to replace a core of a side. And you've got, obviously, Bayer, Howard Bellis, Teller, Matston. They're all, it's obviously, we've got a really good squad, but they are big,
not
big
ours.
Players.
Yeah. I did hear, actually, just pause you there, Adam. Somebody did tell me when we were on the game on Boxing Day, that apparently the Bayer deal is a done deal. Apparently it was a term of his loan that there was a £5 million, I think, buy clause if we got promoted. So if we got promoted, we can trigger it and he signs with us. So that might be a done deal already.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then you read Southampton being linked with Orsic today in the press. Which would obviously take up a bit of an attacking position there. To be honest, with Teller, I think you just hope he stays on loan. So if there's a decent price going, you probably want to take him. But
yeah,
I think Rich has said a few times, I don't know if you want to come in on Teller, Rich. And
yeah, just mentioning Arsic, another one there. That Southampton deal's fell through now.
Oh, has it?
So, like, I've seen Everton will link again. I think his agent plays some very, very funny games. And there was a report in the Turkish press that we've agreed a fee for a Moroccan central midfielder who's a captain of a team. But again, I don't know how true that is. Please do not ask me to pronounce his name. that is a real difficult one. He was at Monaco and Bordeaux and ended up in Turkey. So, again, we'll see what happens. So I think Bayer, to me, out of all the loan players, is the one that's most likely to come. Yeah. I don't know why. If we go up, I think Howard Bellis will do a season on loan at us. I think me and you had a discussion, Adam, didn't we? I think he's got such talent. I don't think City will be willing to let him go just yet on a permanent. Will he be good enough for City in the future, knowing how good they are? Because they're not just
their next like, level.
Top team.
Yeah.
They're the elite of the elite. You know, you've got to be and I'm not saying he can't get that, but it's still a big step up. I think Matson will play for Chelsea. I really do. I think as he develops, and I know George was a bit unsure. Matson is the most improved player this season out of all the new players who's come in for me, because he was really shaky defensively, and he's obviously talented on the ball. He's got great pace. And I think
it was after that sending off for me, I think, Rich, that he changed. When he got sent off, I think that changed his mindset a little bit.
Listen, he was out the team a little bit. Vitinho went left back, and I think he's just understood his role a little bit more. I think going back to what we said, out of all the crucial games we've had this season, I think that Coventry away one, to hold on to that 1-0 lead after Birmingham we drew 1-1, Stoke we give away a lead. I think that's all. And I think Matson since then has just got better and better and better. Teller, this will upset a lot of people who love Teller. I'm 50-50 on whether he'll be good enough to go to the Premier League. We still can't forget there is still a massive, massive jump between the Championship and the Premier League. Look how good, for example, someone like Scott Arfield was, or David Jones in the Championship. And then you step up and it is a different kettle of fish. Teller is a very good player. He's infectious. I think he loves everything about Burnley. But still, at times, his touch and his decision-making does let him down. And in the Premier League, you've got to be so crisp. You don't get the time on the ball and all the defenders are quicker. So his pace won't be as much of an asset. And I always think, I know he was injured, but Southampton are really poor. And why have they let go of him and they're struggling to score goals? And they might recall him. I'm just kind of like, good to you, Adam. How much would we have to pay for Teller, do you think, in this market as a young player?
I wouldn't want to pay more than probably eight million or so.
I think eight. I was going to say 8 to 9 million.
You probably, with the season he's having, scoring 8 goals in the Championship and getting like decent reviews and playing in this Burnley side, I think you're talking probably upwards of, they might want 12, 15. I don't know how long he's got on his
contract.
Would you
pay that? Would you pay that personally? When you look at the value for money abroad, and you know, you think Benson costs 4 million. You know, and it's like, you know, you look at McNeil, 20 million. You know, and I'm very torn on whether I'd sign Taylor permanently, because you've got to plan for the Premier League, and we don't have an unlimited amount of money, you know, to spend. It's a real different. I'm really torn on that. I've seen a lot of amazing stuff in Taylor. And I've seen a lot of stuff, which I understand why he's not made it yet in the Prem. And I know he's had injuries and he's maybe not had a consistent run of games. And I think we go back to it. If both Benton and Zaruri are fully fit, where does Teller find himself for Burnley a lot of the time now?
Yeah, definitely.
He's on the bench, isn't it? So it's a real... So going back to the loan players, yeah, you know, out of the ones we've got, it's a difficult one. And you've got to still understand that. You've got, look at Michael Keightley. Everybody wanted to sign him on that permanent. Sign him up, sign the contract. He signs in the Prem, it's a different kettle of fish. So I think Pace and company will be really clever about that. But I think first and foremost is just get there and then, you know, and then plan ahead. Like, honestly, now, I think we could do with a striker, but if we didn't sign anyone this summer and said, right, we're saving our money for reserve for the summer, would anyone be too disappointed with it?
No, probably not, to be fair.
It's a real, I don't want to go out and, you know, for example, say Sam Surridge or an Obafemi, they're going to cost 6-7 million maybe if we sign him. I think Forrest have said they'd rather do a permanent. And are those lads going to be good enough for the Prem?
Yeah.
You know, this is what you've got to start thinking of, you know, thinking ahead. And I think a loan player, Dervisoglu, does have to go back on loan, does have to go back to Brentford before we sign anyone. But the issue is, you can't play for a third club. So, on loan anyway. So someone would have to buy him permanently.
That might be good for us, and he might end up staying with us then on that basis.
Well, I'd rather get rid of him and get another loan in, but that's the issue we've got. I know Brentford have this B team now, which he could play in that, or somebody could get him permanent. But yeah, it's really interesting. I personally think we will get a striker. I think company really wants one, and I do think we get one.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off Jay a little bit as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, like Jay's been superb, but you can tell he does get fatigued and he can't play game after game after game. And, you know, over the block. Here he is, yeah. And, like, you know, but he's still such a crucial player for us. But, yeah, I think it'd be good if we could have someone to share the workload a little bit more. Because as great as Barnes was in that Blackburn game, when Jay doesn't play, there is a notable drop off in standard. He just can't do the things Jay does, like link up the play, and he just doesn't suit Burnley as much anymore. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, we will keep an eye on that, listeners, see what the January transfer transfer window brings. Do let us know your thoughts of who you want to see in and what position. You know where to find us. That is all we have time for this analysis show. It's a break from the league this week as we travel down to Bournemouth for the FA Cup third round. A cup run, I think, would be the icing on the cake. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that, and we'll probably bring you some analysis show news next week to see the start of the road to Burnley's FA Cup victory this year. That would be something else. Otherwise, we'll be back with the preview show for the next league game next week. So keep an eye on social media and we will get that published for you. This has been the Known and Ever podcast. I've been your host, Natalie Bromley. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Natalie Bromley is the host and editor, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Richard Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, Adam Dennett, and Robbie Kopak. Our music is provided by George Gaskill, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonadnever.substack.com. Our thanks as ever go to our partners, TalkSport. We are, as ever, proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.